Congregation, I've been preaching a few times on heaven and the glorious future of God's people. Also this morning, I hope to do that. It's a special morning, as we can all be in church again. It's overwhelming. May the Lord give his blessing and apply the word to the heart, which is more important than being together. The text is from John 5, the verses 28 and 29. John 5, the verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So far. It's about the last day. And after introduction and look in the context, three thoughts. Judgment day, blessed day, and awful day. So, the last day, after introduction, judgment day. Secondly, blessed day. And in the third place, awful day. Congregation, young people, children. I hear the Lord Jesus say something. Rise up, take up your bed, and go. Who is the Lord Jesus talking to? We speak to a man who has been paralyzed for a long time, 38 years or so, and has been in the hospital of Bethesda, so to speak, and he did not get a chance to be decorated into the water, so he was sick and disappointed. And the Lord Jesus, on this Sabbath day, said, rise up, take up thy bed, walk, and he did. Or were the Jewish people mad that Jesus did a wonder, that he did such a miracle? Because they hated him. And now this was on top of that, on the Sabbath day. They were so offended. The Lord Jesus was healing someone on the Sabbath day. Why on the Sabbath day? And look, the man was carrying his bed on Sunday, on God's holy day. That's awful. They're so upset and they wanted to kill him. Because they're so angry with the Lord. So you see here that Jewish people were very religious and very mad. And so caught up in their doctrine. And they didn't care about this man. They didn't care about healing him. They didn't praise the Lord for that. But they had comments all the time, comments, and they were so critical. And they wanted to slay him. What did the Lord Jesus answer? Remember? Beautiful. The Lord Jesus said to them, my Father is also working on the Sabbath day. God is still at work because he has created the universe in 6 days and he rested, but he is still also on the Sabbath day at work. He is still busy. He still maintains. He still continues. So what? So what, that God is still at work does not mean that we may work on that special day. It's God's day, God working on the Sabbath day, all right. But then people working on the Sabbath day, no way. The Lord Jesus answered, my Father worketh. May I not work? Because he's my Father. And that made him even more mad because he made himself equal with God. He said, my Father may work on Sunday, on the Sabbath day rather, so I may work on the Sabbath day too. And that really made them angry. And they wanted to slay him. And then the Lord Jesus preaches a whole sermon on that. On what? He preaches a whole sermon on my Father, my Father, my Father and me, my Father and me. My Father has the power, I have the power. My Father has the authority, I have the authority. My Father judges, I judge. My Father gives life, I give life. My Father raises up people from the dead, I raise up people from the dead. So this whole chapter, or almost this whole chapter, is about comparing the Father and the Son. Look at verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. So this whole chapter makes it so clear that the Lord Jesus is claiming divinity. He's claiming that he is God himself. God himself. You know, some people don't believe that the Lord Jesus is God, right? Like Jehovah's Witnesses. They have not read the Bible. This is so super clear in this chapter. The Lord Jesus is explaining, my Father worketh and I work. My Father judges and he has given the judgment unto me. He makes himself equal with God. Right. So the Bible says he made himself equal with God. And that's why the Jewish people are so mad at him. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Why is Lord Jesus talking about that? Because he's talking about life and death. Look at verse 25 first. Verily, verily, by the way, you see that quite often in this chapter. Verily, verily, also in 24. Amen, amen, it says in the original. This is something fresh, something new, something you didn't think about. Verily, verily, you must be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto he that hear my word and believeth on him that sent me as everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation with his past from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto the hour is coming and now is. See that, verse 25? You should compare that to verse 28. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. And now is. What is now? That the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's not the future. Verse 25 is not the future. Our verse is about the future. But verse 25 is about the resurrection today. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You know, God the Father spoke, and things were created. He spoke and it was there. And so the Lord Jesus speaks. He makes people alive. He is life himself and has given life to the Son himself. So through the Son, the Lord still raises people from the dead. How and why? Because you know this. Because people, by nature, are spiritually dead. And there is no real hunger for God, is there? And no real desire for his salvation. For salvation. And no desire for holiness. And no hunger for the living God and for Jesus. There's nothing. There's only resistance. Only I don't want to. Only I have better things to do. There's absolutely nothing in man that is alive by nature. Nothing. You know, when you would use a needle on a corpse, you don't want to think about it. But that corpse does not respond, does it? You can poke with the needle in. That's us. That's us by nature. So dead. And even worse than that, because the corpse does not resist either. But we are hostile and resisting all the time, like our fathers, also we. And yet the Lord Jesus comes and speaks. And wonders are happening. Wonders of grace. The verily, I say unto the hour is coming and now is. What a wonder it will be today. Maybe you haven't not been in church for a long time. And now you're sitting in church again. You have been listening at home. But now you're in church. You feel kind of thankful and happy and blessed. And say, yes, I have missed that. But you know, what we are hoping for is that the hour is coming and now is. That they who are dead begin to hear the voice of God and may receive that deep concern for salvation because of sin and can't miss God anymore and have that deep void in their hearts and feel guilt because of their sins. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. That's the context. And now our text. Marvel not at this. Don't be surprised. Don't marvel. It will come suddenly. You won't expect it yet. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, children, you don't want thieves to come to your house, right? You don't want thieves to rob you from your cell phone or to rob you from your bike or to rob you from something. If you see that coming, you just run and you protect yourself. Because thieves don't tell you that they are coming, are they? And so the Lord Jesus will come someday. He will come back. He has ascended into heaven on the day of ascension, and he will return. And you will see it. Somehow all people on the earth at the same time will see it. And he comes with great power. And he comes with great splendor. He is surrounded by the angels. And I hear the trumpet blow. And I hear that penetrating sound, the Son of Man is coming. Oh, marvel not. Let me quote you from 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts. So people mocking and ridiculing the church and themselves, living in lust and sexual sin, and that goes off together. When people live in those sins, they deny God and they become atheists. Knowing this first, that it shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But don't be surprised. It will certainly come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Or think of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be just a normal day. You had breakfast in the morning. You went to work. You went to school. You went on vacation. You were traveling. You did not expect anything special to happen. And then it's happening. Marvel not. It's coming. And all people see him. Also then it appears to him. No exception. We will experience that. We will be there. In the sky, the Son of Man, the same way he left, the same way he is coming back. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. With his mighty angels. Just try to imagine the Lord Jesus coming on the throne and with his mighty angels surrounding him. The whole world will come to a scratching halt. You know, everything will be stopping. Everyone's life will be interrupted and rather end. It will be frightening. For behold, the days are coming, and in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never get suck. You know what that means? It means that if you have children and the Lord Jesus is coming back, you look at the face of your babies and your children, and they're horrified. And you as a parent will suffer double because of what's happening to your children. Or in that sense, I'm just repeating the Bible, it might be better to be single. Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, right? And then the earth will not be flooded, but there will be fire. And the shepherd will separate the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the tares. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. You know, I thought of Lytton, the town of Lytton. It came so quick, so sudden. They had to have a go back to just flee right away. Did the police come to the door? Just go. Don't pack anything. Just go right now. So it will be. And there's no time to get your stuff together. We're on the housetop, and the stuff in the house, don't go down to take it away. And he is in the field. You have no time to go back. Two men are in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. And then we will be summoned to appear before court. It's judgment day, after all. Judgment day. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice in the graves. To hear the voice of Jesus and rise and shall come forth before the throne, the white throne, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It'll be something. Judgment Day, the dead, small and great before the white throne, and the books shall be opened. The books with all the sins recorded. And it's quite a book. And there's nothing forgotten. We may have forgotten. We may have tried to forget. We may have done our utmost to forget about sin. But the books will be opened. It will be Judgment Day, right? The books of sin, or maybe the books of the consciences, some say. So your conscience will speak. You will remember. You will remember all your sins. They'll come before you. And then you have to deal with that. They have done good and they have done evil, the Bible says. Is that not strange? Are people judged according to their works? Really? I thought that then nobody could be saved if it is by works. And here it yet says in verse 29, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So two types of people. They that have done good and they that have done evil. So the good people go to heaven and the bad people go to hell. Do you understand? You know, you have to keep in mind that this is, in the first place, not an incident. This is often in the Bible. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Matthew 16. And 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And to Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Revelation 2:23, and I will kill the children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins in the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. It's everywhere. So how can it be? I understand that people go to hell because they deserve so. According to their works, and we all deserve that, right? But how can it say they that have done good? Well, it's not that difficult. Because God's people, through God's grace, they change. They receive a new heart. And with that new heart, there's a desire for holiness. A desire to live according to the Lord's will. There's a desire for pleasing God. And there is a true saving faith. And there's love. And it's a major change. And that's given by God. That's by grace only. That's not their own work. But it's still something. There's still a work that the Lord is doing in them. And through God's grace, they begin to do good works. Not? If something is according to God's law and to God's honor and in faith and in love, there is something of that in the hearts, in the lives of God's people. Because you see the tree, and you see the fruits on the tree, and you can know someone by the fruits. And if someone is not bearing fruit and living in sin, that person will be rewarded with hell. But if someone has changed and has that new life, that person by God's grace will be rewarded unto everlasting life. Because the Lord is, so to speak, rewarding his own work. And then God's children will be acquitted. Will be acquitted. Will be something to be acquitted. When do God's children receive forgiveness? Is forgiveness from eternity? No. The decision to forgive is from eternity. Is forgiveness since Lord Jesus died on the cross? No, he paid a price, but it was not applied yet to everyone. Is forgiveness received when God's children are made alive? Well, yes. They become from children of wrath, children of God. It's a major change from the very moment that God's people are made alive. They are God's people, and they have been forgiven, even although they don't feel it. And is there forgiveness when the Lord gives that faith in exercise, that they believe on the name of the Son of God? And don't they experience also forgiveness? Absolutely. But there's something even deeper. And I don't mean that some of God's people are summoned before court and experience in a very vivid way the forgiveness of their sins and being for court and being acquitted. But I mean, what will that be? In that public court case, that the Lord will publicly and officially forgive the sins of his church. There'll be something. Here it is, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that is the final court case. Everything before is preliminary. Everything before there is less. But this is the official court case. God's people in heaven right now have not received that yet. They're forgiven and heaven is perfect, but they have not received that official final court case. And that will happen on that day. Come in, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So although they're adopted and regenerated and comforted, there is still something missing. And that will be so... But that word... If you will be officially acquitted, there'll be such a relief, such a joy, such a fullness. I lack words. I don't know how to express myself. It will be officially announced. And there was expectation before and faith before, but now the judge has come to judge the quick and the dead. And some are publicly acquitted and others openly condemned. What will that be? The official announcement will be something. And try to feel, try to imagine how it feels if you would be officially acquitted. Would you smile? Would you be elated? Would you leap for joy? Would you hear the best music you've ever heard? Would you rejoice in that final hearing? You know, when you will see the Lamb who has made you alive and paid the price, when you experience the nearness of your advocate at the right hand of God the Father, when you are looking upon the King and the King looking at you, what if you would see the advocate, the Emmanuel? There will be everlasting joy, even more complete than in heaven. And no wonder that the Belgium Confession writes in the last article, therefore, for that reason, we expect that great day with the most ardent desire, to the end that we may fully enjoy the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here it speaks about God's children with an ardent, deep, lively desire for that great day, because then they will fully enjoy the promises of God. So they don't receive the fullness here, and they don't even receive the fullness in heaven, but then they will receive the fullness in the new world. Oh, that taste of forgiveness here on earth is already very sweet. Have you ever experienced something like that? That the Lord spoke to you, whosoever believeth in me will not perish, have everlasting life, that you had an application in your heart and that you felt relieved from sin and guilt, and felt set free. Those are wonderful times. But it will be so much more in heaven, and so much, much more on the new world, when the Lord Jesus is returning and acquitting his people, and they'll see no unrighteousness and no transgression, and they'll be just paradise. So, second thought, we already got a little bit into it, I think. Blessed day. So our bodies will be resurrected. Yes, our bodies are counting as well. It's not only the soul. We talk a lot about the soul, right, don't we? If an everlasting soul, a never dying soul. Think of your soul. Your body now, well, no, your soul. Right. But we also have a body. We have a body that we will keep. We will be raised in our own body. In the body you have now. That body is, in a sense, eternal. That body of the Lord Jesus was made immortal. Was it still his body? How long will he have his body? And what do you think of God's people when they will be raised? And not only God's people will be raised, so you will remain you. with that same body. And then soul and body will meet. Think about that. You know, Joseph and Jacob, his old father, met. What a special day. You know, when people that haven't seen each other for a long time and then hug and say, I'm so happy to see you again. And think of, well, that'll be then soul and body see each other again. They'll be united. When the soul feels, I don't go too far, and the soul is united to that body that was on her knees, or the body of that person that was on his knees. When the soul is united to that body that has been crying with physical eyes, to that body that had hands to help other people out, to that body that had a mouth to speak glory of God and to confess sin. You know, that soul and that body will be happily united. How is that possible? So when people are in the graves, that's what it says, right? In the graves. Verse 28, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. But you know, there's nothing left but dust. So can God make something out of the dust again? Why not? You know, can chemists and physicists, can they not separate matter from each other? If it is gold and silver and lead and something else in ore, can they not separate all those different metals? And can God not put something together? He is God. And he is the creator. And the Lord Jesus is God himself as well. So he will be able to let people rise out of the dust. It's not difficult for him. He's God. Job, that's old. Job, did he live in the time of Abraham or so? Job spoke about this. This is kind of a special verse. Very down to earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes, physical eyes, shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know what Job is saying? My flesh is decaying, the worms eat me, there's nothing left of me, and out of my flesh I shall see God. And not with the soul, in my flesh I shall see God. Because the grave is only temporary. The grave is a temporary place. And this life is short anyway. And then eternity begins. What a blessed day there will be when my body is restored and God restores the whole creation. And how beautiful you'll be. How strong. How healthy. Smiling. Not sweating. Not tired. Not stressed. Not warm. Not too cold. Nothing. Also in the body. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know, that is an essential part of the Bible, the resurrection of the body. So who have reasons to believe that they will be with God, with the restored body, with true happiness? Or they who were raised in a different sense. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall rise, so he devoted the Son of God, and they that he shall live. So we need a spiritual resurrection in order to benefit from the physical resurrection. So has the Holy Spirit entered into your life and body to wake you up from the sleep? Were you raised out of your unbelief? Were you raised above the earth? Not so focused on this life anymore? Were your thought raised to heaven? Labor to get into Christ, so you will benefit from him. We need faith to be implanted into him. And it will be something if we are willingly ignorant and continue without God in this world. And then there will be a new creation, right? Not only the bodies. The Lord has a place also for the bodies of his church. He has a place also for the bodies of the unconverted. And there will be a new heaven, new sky, new firmament, and a new world with righteousness. And I don't want to make it too difficult, but you have a question. That new world, is that this world? Restored, fixed up, made whole? Or is the old world gone and burned? And the Lord is creating an absolutely brand new world. What do you think? Well, in the Bible, we see both lines, to be honest. We see in the Bible the line that this earth is right now in bondage, and that this earth is like an expecting mother. And that someday she will deliver the child. And so we see this world suffering. You know what the suffering is? Those are the pangs. Those are the contractions. So all the contractions we see, like fire, wildfire, and you name it, those are the contractions. And someday the baby is born. The new world. You say, where is it in the Bible? Romans 8. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So sometimes we think this world will be restored and they'll produce something new. But in 2 Peter 3, we see another line. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And close to that, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. So will that new earth be brand new, or is it a restored old one? I don't know how to word it. It's both true. It will be new. It will be absolutely new. And it will still be also at least similar to the old world. So, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Life. The Father has given life to his Son, and the Son makes alive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. We need life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have received that life, be thankful. Rejoice. Be glad. If you miss it, it's awful. So, judgment day, blessed day, awful day. That's a serious part, the last part, the second part of verse 29. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection unto damnation. So hell is not the end, right? Because after the resurrection, hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. So in hell are only the souls, right? In hell are no bodies. So when you get your body back, there'll be a place for you to physically where your body suffer. And it will be deserved. It'll be quite something. How shall we escape if we have neglected such great salvation? You know, you have to realize when you have been tremendously good to a person and have given much love to someone and you get only unthankfulness back and hostility back, that's very painful. And so the Lord has been extremely good to people. And extremely good to especially people that have a Bible. And extremely good to people that have heard the gospel. And extremely good to people that were not deceived. Have been extremely good to people that have been exposed to the sound doctrine of the Bible. And still resist and still rebel and still have better things to do. The Lord will take that so extremely hard, if I may say it way, there are no words for that. And therefore, those people will be raised as well unto the resurrection of damnation. And look, the word of damnation means separation and accusation. The opposite of acquittal. Accusation, damnation. The Lord will just give it you all what you deserve, and you will realize it. And you will agree with the Lord. Here are a few words. Luke 7. They are like unto the children sitting in the marketplace. In town is the marketplace where lots of children are playing. So they are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another. So the children are saying, hey, listen, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you and ye have not wept. So they played a wedding. They were just playing a wedding. And they did not sing and dance. And they played a funeral. No, still, a funeral procession. And they didn't cry. So, is that us? So we hear the beautiful sound of the gospel, and we don't dance. And we hear the awful sound of hell and damnation, and we don't even cry. We just don't cry. Don't cry. Is that you? You just don't cry. How can it be? But those, my enemies, are you still an enemy of God? But those, my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them. That's Old English. Would not that I should reign over them. It means they did not want to. Would not means want not, don't want to. So, but those enemies which don't want to, they don't want me to reign over them. Bring hither, bring them here, and slay them before me. Kill them. So, then they'll sink in, having neglected salvation. You know, you're in church now again this morning with so many. I'm happy to see that. I can't tell you how much. But you have missed it for a while, and then you're surprised, right? But what will it be to realize what we have done to God? How foolish we have been. How unwilling we have been. How suicidal we have been. Spiritually suicidal. But those men enemies which would not that I should reign over them. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance of his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. And yet, what a blessing that you may hear of hell this morning, and that you're not in hell yet. That you may still hear the funeral song as well, in the hope that you will mourn. Because the Lord Jesus experienced damnation. He was separated by his from his Father on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He experienced hellish agonies. And we may preach all of you that Savior. Because it's him or you. It's he suffered it all for you, or you suffered yourself. So he has come to seek and to save lost people. What a day it will be. What a day it was. What an awful day it was. Or wasn't it? The day of Christ's crucifixion. Awful day. There you see what sin is. And what the wrath of God is. And yet, blessed day. Because he paid the price. And he will save a people from their sins. And what a day it is now, what a blessed day today, that you can come to church and that you can listen along and hear the voice of God, What a blessed day. I hope you also realize that. And take care of your soul and take care of the body. You know, the Lord Jesus, He healed that man. He healed that man on the Sabbath day, on His day. And the people were very upset about that because they cared about the Sabbath day and they did not care about their soul. Do you care a lot about things? Not about your soul? Take care of your soul, take care of your body, because there will be a resurrection. And the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's my hope and expectation. And I believe it, that the Lord continues with saving people Himself. Because the Lord Jesus is God Himself. And He will give life and salvation one-sidedly for His glory. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, that's future, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, the voice of Christ, and shall come forth. They have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And if you may believe that the Lord has raised you already, look forward to this day. Don't set your tent pegs too deep. Be a pilgrim, you belong. And rejoice in such a salvation. And don't complain too much. Because in this light, there's nothing to complain about. If you may experience this, and if this is for you, then all things will be well for time and for eternity, for body and soul both. Then it will be the only comfort in life and death. Amen.